Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Inyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This week, we've been talking about the seventh anniversary of the modern state of Israel, which began on May 14th, 1948. We talked about prophecy. We've read the relevant prophecies from the scriptures about the city of Jerusalem, about Judah and Israel. We talked about the Mosaic Law, and we've discussed God's cultural legislation for Israel, which was the glue that kept their ethnic identity for 4,000 years since Abraham and circumcision, and then 3,500 years since the Exodus and the Mosaic Law. We discussed Christian anti-Semitism, and you could read more about that. In fact, we have a test. You might be an anti-Semite if. That's on our website at kgov.com/Luther. We excerpt two of the writings of Luther, just horrifically wicked, dripping with hatred, violence toward the Jews. We should ask God to forgive us for not having killed them. We should put them all under one roof, take away their homes, not allow them to use the streets. If they use the streets, you know, just let them be beat and robbed in the streets. We take away their money, their silver, their gold. I mean, it's stunning when you read what Martin Luther wrote, the father of the Protestant Reformation, at kgov.com/Luther. And of course, we tell you all about the originals. You can verify that for yourself. So the whole spectrum, on one end, you have Christian anti-Semitism, and for centuries, the hatred of many Christians toward the Jews. And we talked about why that is. Human beings, even Christians, don't need much of an excuse to sin or to hate others. And that, of course, is tragic. But when you look at the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, you see that it is filled with the problem that God has of his people. Whether it's the patriarchs or the judges or the prophets, whether it's King David or Peter, God's people sinning. And sinning against one another, and sinning against him. It's a crisis. When I first read the Bible, I thought, these are God's chosen people. This is a nightmare. But this is all reality. This is not a dress rehearsal. This is not a pre-written script. This is all reality. And so there has been horrific anti-Semitism in the church, and what has prompted much of it is the false teaching that ignores Romans 11, where God says that he is going to graft Israel back in again. He's temporarily cut them off as a nation, as a national covenant, temporarily, while he's turned to the Gentiles in the body of Christ, where there is both Jew and Gentile. But when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, God will return to Israel, and he'll graft them back in again. This is all taught explicitly in Romans chapter 11. We go through it in my life's work, the plot, an overview of the Bible. And by the way, if you get confused about any of the details in the Bible, the best way to understand the details is to become an expert on the overview. So that's the subtitle of the plot. It's the plot. An overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So on this spectrum, on the one end, you have Christians who hate the Jews, and on the other end, you have Christians who say the Jews don't need to believe in Jesus. They can be saved by Moses. And none other than Jesus himself corrected that false teaching. And he said, if they believed in Moses, they would have believed in me. But because they reject me, we know that they reject Moses because he wrote of me. And of course, Moses did. He prophesied of the coming Messiah, the prophet who is to come, and him you must obey. So we also discussed the American embassy being moved to Jerusalem and that this is an act of love toward the Palestinians, although not everyone who supports it realizes that. But this can help them out of their delusion that Israel is not an existing nation state, that it's not a legitimate nation state. For to the extent that you base your life on a delusion, to that extent your life will be miserable and a failure. And that describes Hamas in the Gaza Strip, Hezbollah, and so on. We also discussed the leading, and I'm going to get into this a bit more on today's show, the leading end times preachers all dying of old age. Growing old and dying of old age, celebrating their anniversaries, their gold and silver, what are they called? Silver, gold, emerald, diamond anniversaries, and so on. Something that none of them would ever have expected. That as a group, all the famous end times teachers, preachers, authors, that they together would all grow old and die. And since they are growing old and dying, that tells us that they had a fundamental misunderstanding in their interpretation of current events and of the Bible. And I've listed a number of these folks, right? Tim LaHaye, he passed away in 2016. Chuck Smith died in 2013. Chuck Missler died in 2018. Hal Lindsey, he hasn't died yet. And we're thankful for that, author of The Late Great Planet Earth, but he's now 88 years old. And then there's the kids of the movement, the youngins, like Irvin Baxter, he's 72 years old, the end times ministry guy. And there's John Hagee, he's 78 years old. Jack Van Impe, he's 87 years old, born in 1931 with Rexella there, Rexella Van Impe. So none of these end times teachers imagined that it could be possible that as a group they would live to old age and die in their old age. They never would have predicted that. That contradicts their basic understanding. That contradicts their interpretive framework of the Bible and of current events. When the scriptures teach us that Jesus Christ is the stumbling stone, he's the rock of offense, we recognize that when people look at Jesus Christ, he is the challenge that they must overcome. Because he says you have to be willing to lose your life to find me. You have to be willing to give up your life for him. We don't want to be the stumbling stones. We don't want to be the rock of offense. We don't want our false teaching to cause people to not even consider Jesus Christ. So I'd like to share with you some of the different years that believers had said, this is it, this is the end times, or they predicted in advance that this year will be the end times. Most of these will be people who were actually followers of Jesus Christ. Some of them, though, will be cults where they take the Bible and they mishandle it just like many Christians mishandle it. And they don't understand that Christ coming, his second coming, the second advent, has always been imminent. What does that mean, imminent? It means that it could happen at any moment. The apostles believed that Jesus' coming was imminent, that he could return at any moment. It's in the New Testament. It's a biblical teaching that Jesus Christ could return at any moment, so we should all live with expectation, looking to the heavens and looking forward to the coming of our Lord. That's how we should live our lives. But to take that and then say, well, look at this headline here. This headline means that Christ coming is right around the corner. Well, if that were true, that means for the previous 2,000 years, Christ's coming was not imminent, and it means that the apostles were all confused, and it's the writings of the apostles that you base your end times calculations on. So if they were all confused, certainly you can't be any better. So it turns out that they were not all confused. We get into this in detail in my book, The Plot, An Overview of the Bible, because really, you can't understand the Bible's teachings on the end times unless you have a solid framework of the overview of the whole Bible. When God is speaking to his different covenant peoples, the covenant of circumcision, Israel, the covenant of uncircumcision, the body of Christ, when he's speaking to these two different covenant peoples and he has different plans for them, and if you don't understand which scriptures are to which groups and describing which of their futures, then obviously you will be in complete confusion when you try to build your own eschatology, your own understanding of the end times, the last days. Jesus said that those days may be shortened. The Apostle Peter said that we could hasten the coming of the Lord, that he could come more quickly based on the life of the followers of Jesus Christ. We could hasten the coming of the Lord. So not only is there confusion among many Christians about the overview of the Bible and God's two covenant peoples and whether some end times prophecies have to do with the future of Israel versus others having to do with the future of the body of Christ, not only is there confusion from that perspective, but then on the very nature of God, that God is living and he's personal. If you are a person, you have a will, and God's will is free. So God is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. Because he's relational, our prayers and our lives can hasten the coming of the Lord. Because he is loving, he has often shortened the judgment or even the times of judgment in the scriptures. In fact, sometimes he's bypassed them altogether. And so if you don't understand the plot of the Bible or the nature of God, and I'm not saying you listening, perhaps you, but I'm talking about the end times teachers and preachers who these two things I've just laid out, most of them in their writings, in their videos, even their films, and I love their work, and what I love is their heart, their desire to see the Lord's return. That's what I love. But so many of their particulars are completely wrong, as evidenced by their surprise that they grow old and die of old age. And the reason their particulars are wrong is because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. Now that, we teach about that in the plot. Because the Apostle Paul says, if you want to be a workman of God who needs not to be ashamed, you must rightly divide the word of truth, the scriptures. You must rightly divide between the covenant of circumcision and the covenant of uncircumcision, between Israel and the body of Christ. And if you don't do that, like Martin Luther, he thought that we are Israel, that God only has one covenant people, and therefore, when God cut off the Jews, the Jewish nation, that he will no longer graft them back in again. Because that mercy didn't fit into Martin Luther's doctrinal framework, his theological framework. So his eschatology was confused. He's even confused to some extent about the nature of the body of Christ. And because he doubts God's mercy, that God will graft Israel back in again, then over the years, over the decades, he's susceptible to accepting the hatred of the Jews that was in his culture. And boy, did he accept it. And if you don't know about this, it is a warning that every Christian should be aware of. An easy way to learn about it is at our website. It's on a single webpage, kgov.com Luther. I think you might want to check it out. And Luther also bought in to the pagan Greek philosophical attributes of God, which makes God completely unresponsive. Our prayers cannot move God's hand. Our prayers cannot change anything that would otherwise happen. And as a result of that, when you have that pagan view of God as though he's a stone idol, he's immutable and impeccable and impassible, has no emotion. He has no emotion. He has no ability to change. He has no freedom. If you have that kind of view of God, then certainly you can't understand the plot of the Bible, because the plot of the Bible contradicts that kind of God. And so you have end times teachers who love the Lord and they trust in his death and resurrection. They know that he's our creator God, the second person of the Trinity, but then they misapply end times teachings that are for Israel to the body of Christ. They don't rightly divide consistently. Even those who have glimpses of this understanding, they're very inconsistent with it. And so they end up interpreting the headlines with the Bible, and they get confused on both sides. So for example, right, just an example, Daniel, the book of Daniel, he writes of Nebuchadnezzar and the statue and the head and the chest and the legs, and it's interpreted as Babylon the king, and you get into the empires of the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, and then you get to Daniel's, the bottom of the statue, the 10 toes. And so since Israel has become a nation, you've had this great desire by end times teachers to see the 10 toes being some kind of a 10 nation confederacy. And especially if it comes out of Europe, because the legs are, you know, the Roman Empire, as commonly interpreted the book of Daniel. And by the way, we teach through Daniel verse by verse. I think you might love that book, especially if you're interested in the end times. So, 1957, the European Common Market formed. That's, almost a decade after Israel becomes a nation again. And so Christians are saying, well, this is Daniel's 10 toes, 1957. But it wasn't 10 nations, it was six. Oh, but then 1973, I was a freshman in high school. I'd just become a Christian. I started reading end times prophecy books, Hal Lindsey's Late Great Planet Earth, as those books were being published. 1973, three more nations joined the European Common Market. That's it. That's Daniel's 10 toes. Well, there was six and plus three. That's nine. But nine is close enough to 10. Then 1980, in the decade of the 1980s, three more nations joined. So I guess when the next one joined, it was 10, but then it was 11, then it was 12. And then that was the common market. But then the European Union formed. That was in 1993, much more significant confederacy with 12 nations. It's still the 10 toes of Daniel. You know, it's close enough. That's what the end times teachers, that's the way they would think it. And then, sure enough, 1995, there was a European alliance formed. And that was supposed to be Daniel's 10 toes. Because, you know why? 1995, finally it had 10 nations. Finally, the European alliance called the WEU. Oh, you've never heard of the WEU? The 10-nation European alliance? Well, that's because it disbanded in 2010. So if it disbanded, then the end must have come and gone and nobody noticed. 2001, we had the Islamic terrorist attack on America that was supposed to be the end times. In fact, all of World War II was supposed to be the end times, the persecution of God's chosen people, Israel. If you were there, 50 million people killed, wars and rumors of wars, the persecution of God's chosen people, the Jews, Israel. Wouldn't you have thought this was it? This is the end? the 1930s when the Nazis come to power in Germany? If you were in Europe, wouldn't you have thought this is it? And then World War II breaks out. I mean, World War I was the end. Now World War II, isn't that the end too? Now, 2016, the 28-nation European Union begins to unravel with the UK's Brexit. Italy gave a no-confidence vote, so we'll see. The elitists are trying to keep Britain in the EU, even though they voted to leave the EU. But if you think back, and we'll have a list. In fact, we have it right now on our website, but I'll put it on today's show summary, yesterday's show summary. Since AD 500, think about that year, right? BC and AD, it's world history divided from before Christ to after the Lord, Anno Domini. The years since the Lord came and before Christ and after the Lord. And so the year 500 AD, Irenaeus and other Christian leaders predicted that Jesus would return in the year 500. And why not, right? It's a year with a nice round number. It's 500. Well, it's been 1,518 years since then, and so they were wrong. And then there's another Christian leader. His name was Sextus Julius Africanus. 500 came and went, so he predicted it'd be the year 800. But it's been 1,200 years since then. And then we have the year 1,000. The year 1,000, it was Pope Sylvester II and others predicted that was the beginning of the end, the year 1,000. And we could keep going through history. Wikipedia has a large list on this. We've created our own smaller list, trying to be more careful and more deliberate. But you go back to, 1844, when the Seventh-day Adventists believed Christ would have returned. It's been 174 years since then. They're still doing their end times conferences. Still, it's 174 years later. There was a Christian in Scotland, Robert Fleming the Younger. His father was also a minister. He wrote in about 1700, he calculated the Antichrist reign would begin in the year 1850. This is Robert Fleming the Younger. Now, how did he get the year 1850? He's writing in the year 1700. Well, he went back to a pope who, in the year 608, took the Roman pantheon, all the pagan gods like the Greek gods, only in Rome you can go there to this day, the pantheon, and he dedicated it to Mary. And so there are a lot of people since then who said, well, that was really gross. That's horrific that you have this dedication to Mary when we should be dedicating ourselves and our lives to God. In the Roman Catholic Church, never warns people, don't worship Mary. They never warn people. When they have hundreds of millions of people who actually worship Mary and the saints, and they don't warn people, they should say, that's not our teaching, folks. You only worship God, you don't worship Mary. But they don't do that. So at any rate, this Robert Fleming took the year 608, and he added a number from the book of Revelation, 1,260 days. Now, why would you take 1,260 days, which is half of the tribulation, seven-year tribulation? He converts those to years, and he adds 1,260 years to the year 608. He says that the end times is going to be in 1850. It's been 168 years since then. Do you think he might have been right? How about the Jehovah's Witnesses? They said that the year 1878, that'd be it. It's been 140 years since then. Then they fixed things up. 1914, that'd be it. It's been 114 years since then. They messed that up. I've got a book that was published. When was this book, The Harp of God? It was published in 1921. And on the cover, it says, millions now living will never die. If you've not heard our secret recording with Jehovah's Witnesses, you will love that. It's on our website, kgov.com, kgov.com/JWs, JWS. Stunning. And I brought the book. I showed them the book. They didn't care too much about the book. The book proves that the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is a false prophet. Proves it. Because they said, proof conclusive that millions now living will never die. That was a false prophecy. So the Jehovah's Witness owned their own publishing house and their own authors. What was it? J.F. Rutherford and Charles Taze Russell. They're false prophets, false teachers. But then we have to recognize that our own teachers were all messed up. Right? Remember Herbert W. Armstrong, another cultist on the fringe of Christianity? He said that the end would be in 1936. It's 82 years since then. But then he updated it three more times. No end, so he went to 1943, then 1972, then 1975. It's been 70 years since Israel became a nation, 1948. And a lot of Christians said, that's it, that's the last generation. And they're all dead now. And there are more generations. 1981, that's when Chuck Smith, one of my favorite Bible teachers, he taught that the seven-year tribulation would begin in 1981 in the fall. That was 37 years ago, still no great tribulation. 1985, Lester Summerall, he founded the TV network. I was on three TV networks, Cornerstone out of Pittsburgh, LaCie Broadcasting out of South Bend, Indiana, and America's Voice out of Washington, D.C. I was on all three simultaneously for some years in 80 cities, on satellite, radio simulcast. And Lester Summerall wrote a book called I Predict 1985, that would be it, the end. It's been 33 years since 1985. Pat Robertson predicted that the end of the world would be in 1982, 36 years since then. How about 88 reasons why the rapture will be in 1988. It's been 30 years since that. Harold Camping predicted that in 1994, the Great Tribulation would start. 24 years since then. Bishop Usher, remember Bishop James Usher, his chronology? He predicted that 1997 would be the end of the world. Now, give him credit, it was centuries after he was writing. But it's been 21 years since then. Our three youngest kids were born since his prediction. The year 2000, remember the Y2K bug was supposed to herald in the end times? Jesus would arrive on a Y2K bug. It's been 18 years since then. Lester Summerall predicted that the year 2000 would be the end. Jerry Falwell predicted that would be the year we would see God's judgment. It's been 17 years since the 2001 attack on America by the Muslims, 9/11. It's been 11 years since 2007. Pat Robertson wrote a book in 1990 that said the end of the world would be in 2007. It's been 4 years since the blood moons. Remember the blood moons that were going to indicate the end times? John Hagee and all that? So that's why we say at Denver Bible Church, don't tell us it's the last days. Tell us when it's the last minutes, because the last days have lasted now for 1,500, for 2,000 years. So as Christians, we want Christ to be the stumbling stone, not ourselves.